What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
Como estas, mi hermanos?
What is up, fellas? Que pasa?
Nothing much. I have to brush up on my Spanish. I have no response for either of you two.
Jedi, bueno.
Guy played his whole life in Southern Florida playing baseball. Doesn't know a simple thing of Spanish.
La Leche.
Yes. You know who his nickname was? La Leche? See if you're a Yankee fan.
La Leche. Off the top of my head, no. La
Melky Leche? Cabrera.
Oh, come on. The milk that was man. Dumb. I should have known that. All right, well, to start this off, another edition of Judge Jedi, the question of debate today. Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge are both injured before the season starts with questionable timelines. Are you hitting the panic button or not?
Absolutely. I am hitting the panic button. There's no reason why I'm not hitting the panic button. I don't understand why Scott Boras hasn't been called yet. Why is Blake Snell not a Yankee? Why is Trevor Bauer not a Yankee? Why are we not trading for somebody? Like, the life of a Yankee fan is so unbelievably annoying. And I think, Jedi, you're the one that actually said it. So I'm going to use this evidence in court. I believe you said that they every spring training, they just reel you back in. And by the end of October, you hate yourself. So this is another situation. Here we go. They fired their trainer a couple years ago. Guess what? We can't stay healthy. And you know what? If Cole goes down for the year, this team is done. They don't have enough pitching to get through the year. So, yes, I am absolutely hitting the panic button.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that, yes, the MRIs have happened, but there's been nothing definitive on the Cy Young winner, Garrett Cole, and Judge MRI was on his ribs, and the first indications are it looks good, and that's even coming from him, I believe. I believe he said he feels like it's nothing too serious. He's just going to shut it down a little bit. So, no, I don't think you're quite there on the panic button. While Houdini brings up valid points, and I can't imagine going through it as a Yanks fan, maybe slightly concerned. So I hate to cede a little bit there to my opposing counselor, but not quite yet. Let's wait for the definitive news to come out first before we hit the panic button.
Is there a way in court where there's just like a tie? Is that a thing?
Yes.
It's called a mistrial, I believe.
I think this
but
is...
that's typically not like, they're not in like a tie. Usually mistrials, like if something happened during the trial that kind of tainted
it. I think
it.
That's valid here. I'm ready for my decision. Did either of you have any sort of closing remarks?
I refuse a mistrial. I am 100% hitting the panic.
My decision here is this is a mistrial. I see both sides of this. However, I'm hitting the panic button for Aaron Judge because the sore abs, the abdominal strain that might be there right next to his oblique that he injured 2 years ago and was out for 4 to 5 months. I'm panicking on that more than Garrett Cole, who just is having a tough time recovering from a 3-inning start. I'm a pitcher. I've had it where you just like, I wouldn't call it dead arm yet, but to where you just feel a little bit more fatigued than usual because you're not properly conditioned your arm. And I think that's what he's going through. I think he's just going to have a little bit of a setback. He's not going to be ready for opening day. I do believe that. But people throwing out TJ, obviously, I hope to God it's not that, but I don't think it is. So I'm not hitting the panic button. I'm hitting the panic button on Aaron Judge.
Let me ask you two Yanks fans. Do you think this is, I don't want to say the beginning of the end because that sounds ominous, but he has thrown this hard his entire career since he was like 18, 19 years old, absolutely shoved in college, shoved all the way through all levels and with Pittsburgh and Houston. Do you think this is the start of the decline of his velo?
No. I think that Garrett Cole, one, is he going to throw 96 his entire career? No. That's a given. But I almost want to flip the answer to your question and say, do I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to have like a 5 ERA at one point in his career, like a CC Sabathia? Maybe, but I think he's going to go back to a Cy Young form because I think he knows just how to pitch so well that he'll just reinvent himself into throwing 92, 93, kind of like Masahiro Tanaka did. I think Garrett Cole's that good to where he'll maybe go through a season to where it's a 4.5 ERA, and then next season he'll bounce back because he's going to figure out how to pitch not blowing it by guys.
And I was going to say, he is a, I feel like in my opinion, he is a pitcher too. He's not just a hard thrower. Like, the guy knows how to pitch.
I will say, I don't think it's the beginning of the decline of the velo, but injuries don't discriminate. So if this is a reoccurring trend, then this could be the decline of Gerrit Cole in general. So I do have my eye on that. Not necessarily the velo. I'm not worried about the velo. I'm worried about whether or not he can maintain being healthy for the remainder of his career.
Well, we will see. The MRI results have not come out on that yet.
What a scumbag.
Wrong button.
I was going to say, call a Cole scumbag.
I was like, why the fuck am I a scumbag?
Oh, that was great.
I want to continue this talk with Gerrit Cole here. He's getting an MRI on his right elbow as a precautionary thing. I told both of you as a precaution, I was going to throw myself down a flight of stairs when I read this news. Cole has not been recovering as quickly as he normally does, as he would in the past after throwing live. He said that after throwing three innings, it feels like he threw a whole game of 100 plus pitches. Is it a cause of concern? Yes. We already spoke about that. You can go watch if you're watching on YouTube. We were talking about in Judge Jedi. But which one are you more concerned about? Because this is what I didn't ask you. Are you concerned about Gerrit Cole or Aaron Judge that he's having an MRI and it's not looking like he might not be available for opening day? It reminds me a little bit too much of that oblique injury that he had a few years ago that put him out for 4 to 5 months.
It's a great question. Because you're looking at the heart and soul of your pitching staff, and then you're looking at the heart and soul of your entire team. So I really think both. This is the worst possible case scenario for the New York Yankees. This is like ground zero of panic. If you were to ask me to pick one, I would say it's Cole. And the only reason why I'm going to say it's Cole is because of what's behind him. Exactly. I think last year when you lost Judge, you didn't have Soto there. You didn't have Verdugo there. You didn't have Trent Grisham there, right? Like there are guys that can play the field, that can hit. I'm not going to say they're anywhere close to Aaron Judge. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you have pieces out there that can probably win you some ball games for an extended period of time. Last year's outfield was Jesus. I mean, 13 different guys. So I think when you take Cole off that rotation, it becomes scary. Like Stroman becomes like your two, essentially. And that's not what we signed Stroman for, because Rodon has looked like shit. So when you start looking at what that rotation looks like, what, Nestor's your one, Stroman's your two, and Rodon's your three, and Clark Schmidt's your four, like, Jesus Lord, we are 100% hitting the panic button here.
So I'm going Judge because it's a recurring injury. That's a great point, Jedi. He's already missed 4 to 5 months. It's basically the same body part. Obliques are notoriously difficult to come back from. And when you're dealing with, you know, core muscles like that, you could very easily get a sports hernia out of that. You know, you start straining in and start overcorrecting. It can completely derail a season. And for somebody who's had an injury like that and who, what, is on the wrong side of 30, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other side of 30, yeah, what, 32? Like, he's a big man. Those injuries come up and they're tough to shake like that. The only reason it's not Cole, because you're exactly right, Houdini, is because Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery are still in the market. If they were signed elsewhere and there wasn't the possibility of being able to get, you know, replace a Cy Young winner with another Cy Young winner, to even have that opportunity would be a game changer. If they were signed elsewhere, I would go Cole, but I think at this point I'm going Judge.
When it comes down, Judge or Cole, who are you more panicked about? I'm also going with Gerrit Cole in this scenario just because of all the reasons Houdini mentioned. I am not certain this rotation that already is a problem with Cole. I just don't see, and it kind of transitions us into the next topic here. Blake Snell time. When is Brian Cashman going to call Scott Boras, maybe even for Jordan Montgomery? And now there's rumors out here that the Yankees have now made an additional new offer to the White Sox for their ace, Dylan Cease. So clearly this is a little bit of the panic button for Gerrit Cole. There's something that we don't know, because they wouldn't be having a new offer for Dylan Cease and that being reported if they were so certain that Cole's going to be healthy. However, though, I will say this, which I think is the most important thing to put in consideration for the Yankees. if you're a fan and the organization. I'm not saying give up because I think that's a loser mentality. However, I don't think that trading guys like for a Dylan Cease when you're going to have to give up big prospects is worth it because Dylan Cease is not going to replace Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole is Gerrit Cole. He is the best pitcher in baseball. You can't replace the best pitcher in baseball. I don't care if they have Dylan Cease and Blake Snell. Yes, it's great, but I'd rather have Gerrit Cole. He pitches in New York. We know that he can pitch in New York. We don't know what Dylan Cease or Blake Snell will do in the Bronx. Time and time again, Sonny Gray, Frankie Montas, none of these guys have been able to pitch in the Bronx. Gerrit Cole can. I don't think that throwing prospects at a guy for 1 year that you have Soto is almost worth it. I think you might as well just break the bank and go sign Snell if you really want to. Go get Monty too. Because money is not really a thing for the New York Yankees. So that's my perspective on this.
Which, I mean, you bring up a great point. Why trade someone when you can go sign somebody? And I think the perfect combination for the Yanks would be Trevor Bauer and Jordan Montgomery. I actually like those two more than I would want Snell or Cease. I think Montgomery obviously has pitched in New York before, but I think he really found himself. I think Monty helps you better than Snell, to be honest with you, the more that I'm thinking about it. And then Bauer has that, for lack of better terms, he's got that fuck you mindset. And that will take you a long way in New York.
It could also blow up in New York, too.
And if it's for a one-year deal, it is what it is. You can cut him.
Right, exactly.
For league minimum, it's going to be nothing to them. It doesn't make any sense. The other thing about Dylan Cease that I don't like about that is that we're talking about a dude who had one good season. Yes, he strikes out a lot of people. He came in runner-up for Cy Young. I think it was 2 years ago. But last year, he had a 4.5 ERA. No, thank you. That is not replacing Gerrit Cole, especially for the prospects that they want. And I know Spencer Jones was not included in this new offer, but who is? Is it Warren, who's their big pitching prospect? I would assume Dominguez isn't in it, but is it Oswald Peraza? I don't think it's worth it. It's not going to replace Gerrit Cole. It doesn't make any sense.
I think they're losing value on guys like Oswaldo Cabrera and Oswald Peraza. The more and more time that passes, they are losing value rapidly. And that's the only problem with the Yankees that we've had, and we've been talking about it since you were, 14 years old. They never have that guy that someone can look forward to in the minors. Like, there's not a young guy with an opportunity that's going to get it. We don't have that. And if we ever did, we traded him anyway. So that's where I get frustrated with the Yanks is like, you don't have a guy in AAA, AA that's like 21, 22 years old that's a flamethrower that can just like eat some innings. The answer is no.
Yeah, they're just not ready, or when they are, it's time to trade them. They're not at the age 26 when they get called up to the show for the New York Yankees. That's usually the age. Judge was like 25 when he got called up. And Spencer Jones, I think, is 24 right now. So it just shows you that, you know, he hasn't hit that 25 number yet. So he probably won't be up for a little bit. Trevor Bauer is back in the news again for signing with a team, but not with a team that you'd think. He's playing for the Asian Breeze, a team that plays scrimmages against minor league teams. And he dominated against the Dodgers minor league team, touching 99 miles per hour multiple times and sitting 96, 97. Somebody please call this man up. Let him play. I mean, I have a bold take here. I think if somebody finally signs him, he would finish as a Cy Young finalist this year. I think that he's that good. He's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. And he's hungry. What people are not realizing is this dude wants to prove everybody wrong. He hasn't been in the show. He wants to get back there. Any team could use Trevor Bauer. Just pick him up. Most teams, he would become their ace. He just needs a chance.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bold take right there that he'd be a Cy Young candidate. But I'm not going to disagree with you. I think it's a stretch, but I could see it happening. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing. I think his stuff is nasty. Where my concern with Bauer is the longer this goes, the less likely it looks, because there's a lot of teams out there that need help.
And, you know, when all this came up last year and Houdini was very adamant that he's never going to pitch again in Major League Baseball, and that was even before any news about the trial had come out, like the trial was ongoing, we didn't know. So I thought he was going to pitch because I thought it was going to, you know, for lack of a better term, blow over a little bit. You know, the news cycle's pretty crazy for cancel culture. So I was thinking that yes, he would go off a year, do well, not in the majors. I'm shocked he hasn't signed yet. And every day that goes by and that he doesn't sign, I'm agreeing with you more and more, Houdini. I don't think he's ever going to pitch again. If he hasn't signed at this point with all of the openings, even somebody taking a minor league flyer on him, if it hasn't happened yet, Jetta, you just said he dominated the minor leaguers, touching 99, 96, 97, striking out the side. Like, he clearly still has the stuff, but I think it's literally getting blackballed by the league. I think the league is refusing to sign him. I think Manfred put out an incognito message: do not sign Trevor Bauer under any circumstance.
Which is really unfortunate, because you could literally almost like hear the pain in his voice when he's doing interviews and how bad he just wants to play and he doesn't understand why. He said, I've served my entire suspension. I've served it twice the amount of games that I was suspended for. I've been proven innocent. I've been playing. I've shown that my skill and my talent is still there. And yet somebody won't even give me a chance. A minor league deal, a spring training invite we're talking about. He even said, if it's my personality, sign me for a week. If it doesn't work out, cut me, but just give me a chance.
Well, and I don't even necessarily love the guy. Like, some of his antics, just like, the sword pisses me off. That time he chucked the ball in center field, like, get your head on straight. But I do think it's complete foolishness he hasn't been signed yet.
Yeah, and like I told you guys, I was adamant that he shouldn't pitch again, or that he wouldn't pitch again. And when everything kind of came out at first, in my mind, he was treated as guilty before proven innocent, as opposed to the other way around.
Opinion, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now that everything has come out, I feel really bad for him.
I do. I feel bad.
Yeah, and we could sit here and talk about this too. I mean, I've mentioned before, Andrew Jones is on the Hall of Fame ballot, a domestic violence abuser, but we pass that by for what? And he's been found guilty for that, and Trevor Bauer wasn't. Marcelo Zuna, like, I believe, strangled his wife. He is still in the major leagues playing. Aroldis Chapman shot a gun at his wife, still playing. Domingo Herman, up until last year, beat his wife up and was still playing. And he's an alcoholic. And was like having fights with the internal in the clubhouse. And Trevor Bauer is still not getting a chance. We're not talking about him being the ace, him getting a $30 million contract. We're just talking about him getting a spring invite, a chance to play, a chance to prove himself. It's ridiculous.
This is coming down from the top for Manfred, 100%.
And that's why his nickname is forever or will be known as Man Fraud. Screw you. Big-time prospect for the Baltimore Orioles, Jackson Holliday, is playing really well in spring training. I don't know if either of you boys have seen it, but if Jackson Holliday makes the opening day roster, they may have to thank this new provision that's in the baseball collective bargaining agreement as a part of the deal that ended the 2022 lockout. Teams and players agreed that if they add a prospect, promotion and sensitive picks will be added to their annual MLB player draft for that team. So the Seattle Mariners, when they brought up Julio Rodriguez in 2022, they got an extra pick in the draft for that. Gunnar Henderson for the Baltimore Orioles and Corbin Carroll were last year's picks. Both of their teams will get respective draft picks for this upcoming draft in 2024. Holliday is only 20 years old. He's batting .323 with one homer and five RBIs in spring training right now. He's obviously the son of seven-time All-Star Matt Holliday. I've never been so excited for a player like Jackson Holliday to make his MLB debut, who I believe is going to be absolutely electric, than the last time with Bobby Witt Jr., which I was really excited for.
I mean, if you look, you can tailor your excitement to Jackson Holliday. I'm not even going to stop or start with Jackson Holliday. They're 15-3 in the spring, right? And I know it's the spring, but if you look at their prospects that are hitting, it's alarming if you are a fan of anybody other than the Baltimore Orioles in the AL East. So I look at Colby Mayo, who Jedi, I think we know pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He's hitting .323. Colton Cowser, he's 9-for-20. So he's hitting like .455. He's 23 years old. They have an abundance of young talent there. To me, Jackson Holliday is like the big present on Christmas that you save for last, but it may not be the most expensive one.
But it's the one you wanted.
it's the one you wanted. But dude, they're hitting on every single gift that they're getting right now. And it is scary for the entire AL East knowing that they have landed Corbin Burnes. They're 15-3. They're young and they have a sour taste in their mouth from last year's postseason.
Yeah, they're hungry. They're going to be a great team to watch, and I can't wait to see it being so close. May even go down to Camden for a couple games this year. You know, selfishly, I hope he doesn't make it, and I hope they send him the double A so I can see him in Harrisburg, just so I can see him in person. Purely selfish reasons only. Baseball-wise, I want to see him dropping bombs in Camden. Like, I'm just telling you because I want to see him, Jedi. That's the only reason. But no, I think I didn't realize MLB did that little incentive program, because I like that, because, you know, MLB notoriously keeps their minor leaguers down in double or triple A for a little bit to start the year to manipulate that year of service. So I hope they don't do that. I hope they bring him up right away.
I just think it's so crazy looking at him and everybody else on the field. He just looks like he's like 14. It's crazy, dude, to me, but he's so talented.
He's so
he literally looks like he just came out of a PG event.
He doesn't look like he's 20.
No.
It's crazy. He honestly looks like he's like a junior in high school. But it's unbelievable for how like he's not even that big of a guy. And he's not a big pop guy, but the pop that he has is impressive for how big he is.
Dude, the swing is so like the load is so smooth and slow and then just explodes with power. It's a really beautiful swing.
I mean, look, when Matt Holliday, who is your father, you're going to know how to hit a baseball for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been a better hitter if Matt Holliday was my dad.
I think anybody would be, but it's definitely going to be an exciting thing. Baseball season is going to be up and coming soon, and spring training is going to be concluding very soon, with the opening day going to be starting in Korea with the Dodgers and the Padres. That's going to be May 20th. So that's going to be in a few days from now. Everybody else is going to be starting on March 28th. Did I say May 20th?
No, I think you said March.
Oh, okay. I thought I said May for a second. But yeah, that will be March 28th. So that's something exciting to see if Jackson Holliday will make this opening day roster or not. But either way, the Baltimore Orioles are probably going to run that American League East division, especially if Judge and Cole are out and they get a head start on that division. Because it's going to be competitive.
They say your hood is a pot of gold. And we go crash it when nobody's home. Holly Berry.
Money, money, money. It has been going all around in the NFL as of late with free agency beginning. Russell Wilson is the first one that we're going to talk about real quick. Has signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers for the league minimum on a one-year deal. Deepaw, you're the big Steelers fan here. I just want to ask, is he going to revitalize his career in Pittsburgh, you think?
Ooh. You know, yes, because of how bad it was in Denver. We talked about it last podcast, how precipitous of a decline that was that he had from being probably a top 8 to 10 quarterback in the NFL in Seattle to absolutely bombing in Denver. So when you look at it for what you're getting, you mentioned a Jedi, the league minimum salary, even if he is a backup and Kenny Pickett, quote unquote, beats him out in the preseason, you're still paying the veteran minimum, $1.2 million for him for a backup. When backups are going for $5, $6, $7, $8 million. So even though the NFL raised the cap $30 million, that is $29 million that we don't have to spend. He's a $40 million quarterback that we're paying $1.2 million for. So revitalize his career? No. I'm gonna go with no. Do I think he maintains what he did the last year in Denver? Yes. He wasn't a bad quarterback his last year in Denver. The team was terrible. He's going to have I'm biased here, but the best defense in the league. The D won us at least 3 games last year and does that every year. So he's not going to have a porous defense. He's going to have a run game, and he throws a good deep ball. So I'm liking this.
You know what? The more you kept talking, the more and more I started to change my mind. Kenny Pickett's made of glass. Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh by week 6. So you're going to find out really fast.
He's
going to
be the starting quarterback week 1, Dino. He's going to be the starting quarterback.
Wow.
I'm calling it.
If you're calling that, then that's fine. Like I don't think Russell Wilson is a bad quarterback. I think he's gotten a lot of shit because of the things he says and does is just so cringy. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly.
So I would I take Russell Wilson for $1.2 million? Yes. Do I think he revitalizes his career? Absolutely not. I think his career is what it is. I think people absolutely hate him, and I don't think he's going to be able to change that. No matter how good he may play, I think people absolutely hate him. For no real reason.
Well, you mentioned it's because all the cringe stuff.
Yeah, like the Broncos Nation Let's Ride had me crawling.
Broncos Nation, Let's Ride.
Yeah, Let's Ride.
I saw a funny one, Steelers Country, Let's Smelt. So bad.
What he should have done was he should have did some sort of meme or some video of him in a Bane mask. Then I would have completely just like, I would have been hyped up for that.
Yo, last one before we move on, Jedi. I saw a funny meme. It was from Zoolander when Zoolander goes down into the mines with his dad and brother. And it said Russell Wilson showing up to the first day at Steelers camp.
Jedi's never seen Zoolander.
Oh my God.
He's too young.
I'll send you this clip, Jedi.
He's too young.
I'll look forward to that clip. More NFL news. Saquon Barkley signs with the Philadelphia Eagles for not that big of a contract, which is kind of surprising. Signs for 3 years, $37.75 million. Do you love this move? If you're a Giants fan, you're crying.
No, I mean, I love this move. I think I don't love it as much as the other one. I don't love it as much as Joe Mixon going to the Texans. But I do love Saquon going to the Eagles. And for a couple of reasons. One is running backs aren't getting paid like they kind of used to. You know, like it's not – you can pretty much find – the mindset is you can find anyone that can run the football, yeah. Right? Whether they're 22 years old out of the draft or, you know, it's a guy that was overlooked. But I do think it completely changes the Eagles' run game. Even though I like Swift, you have a glorified running back. And he's a power back with speed. I think it completely changes their offense as long as there's a game plan different than what it was last year. Last year, their offense was so unbelievably easy to defend. So I think Saquon adds an element to that offense that's really crucial for them. And plus, he's literally going to hang 200 yards on the Giants twice a year. So it's a bad look for the Giants. If you look at the free agency right now in the NFC East, the Commanders are active, the Eagles are active, the Giants and Cowboys are inactive. And for the Cowboys, obviously because Dan Quinn is now the head coach of the Commanders, he's pulling a lot of guys from Dallas too. So it is alarming, and I do think the Eagles got better.
Yeah, Dallas's prized free agent so far is a long snapper, so that's interesting. I absolutely love this signing by them. The last big money contract that the Birds gave out was also to a Pennsylvania native running back less than an hour and a half from Philadelphia, Houdini. Jedi, you may know too. Do you know who that running back was?
LeSean Shady McCoy, baby.
Shady McCoy. Pride of Bishop McDevitt, best running back in Eagles history. I don't think Saquon will equal that, you know, being, you know, equal to Shady, but he's going to be like Shady light, in my opinion. I think he's going to dominate. You're right, Houdini. They got to figure out the run game. Jalen Hurts, although he can run the ball a lot, cannot be your number one running back like he was last year. You have to give Saquon the ball. If they do that, I think the Birds, you know, maintain that that form that they had a couple years ago.
Fun fact, and Deepo, I don't know if you were at the game. Did you happen to come to the game where Shady played at Cumberland Valley?
I went to a couple of them, yeah.
It was the funniest thing in the world. Jedi, you know, you don't know, but my high school was predominantly made up of white kids. And this dude, I think, rushed for 375 yards.
And it was on all over all of my friends, too.
Yeah, like you're just watching
all your Jedi. Like I played against him in 7-on-7.
Yeah, but you're sitting there like, oh, that's my boy from second period. He just got trucked. So it was special to watch in high school. Almost, you can compare it to when we saw Riley Green.
And it was always cool too. McDevitt at the time didn't have a nice, very nice field. They had to play their games on Saturday morning, so they didn't have any lights. So, you know, high school football happens on Friday. So you'd play your game on Friday and then 10 a.m. go over to McDevitt and watch Shady just absolutely crush dudes for 200 yards.
That's a story to tell. It's pretty cool. But Saquon Barkley, I like the move a lot. But one guy that got a huge payday, Kirk Cousins, signed a monster deal with the Falcons. He's being paid $150 million in 2024 with $100 million guaranteed. In his career, he will have made $411 million through 2027, yeah, which is so crazy to think about, because all that for one playoff win in 12 years.
It was all those commander contracts, Houdini.
Well, he was franchise tagged a lot.
Yep.
And obviously he was under the Dan Snyder era. So that was the year we traded literally everything in our mother for RG3. And then in the fourth round, we took Cousins, and Cousins ended up being the better pro. This is a home run signing by the Atlanta Falcons. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson now have a quarterback that can get them the football. It changes that division, in my opinion. Obviously, Baker got paid, but when you're looking at the Bucs, Saints, Panthers, and Falcons, that division has always been up in the air, and I think it's even more slanted in the side of the Falcons. If they can stop people, which has been their problem in the past, they cannot stop anybody. It's like literally watching Pac-12 football. But if they can get stops, Cousins and those boys are going to put up 40 to 45 points.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. You know, the big question mark is obviously the Achilles. If he comes back 100%, and, you know, we saw Aaron Rodgers with that freakish timeline, but he's coming back healthy. I hope Kirk comes back healthy, because I enjoy watching Kirk. You know, he was teaming up with Justin Jefferson from those years in Minnesota, but I enjoy watching him. I think he's a good quarterback, and I think you're right, Dino. You get Arthur Smith out of there. Raheem Morris comes in, good defensive coordinator, so hopefully they figure it out on defense, because, yeah, they have very, very skilled position players. So if you get someone who can get him the ball, could be a very, very good team down in Atlanta. And then we haven't even talked about a draft pick. Maybe they go receiver or something. They could have a dangerous offense.
Yeah, for sure. And then the last guy that I just wanted to briefly mention here, Derrick Henry, also signed with the Baltimore Ravens, adding to their loaded team for 2 years, $16 million. But the question I want to pose to both of you is this the guy who's finally going to push them over the edge now? They've kind of always teetered on and off when they're in the playoffs. Some may blame Lamar Jackson, say he might not be the guy. But is Derrick Henry, is he the final piece for this?
I don't think so. It's a good pick, but it's a good pickup. But we're not talking about the Derrick Henry that was with the Tennessee Titans. This is a different Derrick Henry. For them to get over the hump, Lamar has to play better. Plain and simple.
Yeah, he's got to play better in the playoffs. I think that's the big thing. It's always been MVP Lamar in the regular season, but once it comes down to the playoffs, I don't know. Play calling changes. He changes. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't have that playoff success. He took the words right out of my mouth. He's a 30-year-old running back. Yes, he's Derrick Henry. And, you know, he's a big running back. You typically don't see them succeed as long as he has. Am I worried about it as a Steelers fan? Not crazy about it. They're always going to have a good running game. You know, I say that now before, you know, he busts off an 80-yard touchdown run on us. But I think the bigger thing too, Jedi, is the Steelers just stole their starting inside linebacker, Patrick Queen. So we got a guy to stop him. So I think it's a good pick from what was available, but you're right. It's not prime Derrick Henry.
This is a really interesting question that I thought of. Who has it worse, the New York Giants fans or the Carolina Panthers fans? The Giants lose Saquon Barkley and have a bad QB in Daniel Jones and locked up in that bad contract, but they did acquire Brian Burns. Or do the Carolina Panthers fans have it worse? They keep making questionable moves. Christian McCaffrey a few years ago was traded. No draft picks from that. They have an awful owner who sucks and throws beer at fans. And now Burns is traded. Who do you think has it worse as a fan base?
So I'm going to go with the Giants, because odds are if you're a Giant fan, you're a Knicks fan, you're a Ranger fan, and you're a Yankee fan. So that's why I'm going to go with the Giants. But their moves have been questionable as well. On the football field, it's about as a roller coaster as you could possibly imagine. Brian Daboll has been, you know, the trash bag of the week a couple times. But, yeah, I mean, your Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Giants sucks. That sucks.
I'm going to go Panthers. but it is tough not to, especially that Daniel Jones extension they gave him too. Like, that's going to saddle the franchise for a long time. And you start, I think it was like $40 million as cap. It's ridiculous. But I'm going to go with the Panthers because of that trade that they did to move up to get Bryce. Now, I know he had a horrible team. He had no offensive line last year, but he looked like a young college quarterback in an NFL offense. Like, I know every quarterback isn't a prototypical Josh Allen size, 6'4", 6'5", and can do that, but I don't see it in Bryce Young. And they gave up a ton to go get him. And that pick that, you know, what Chicago has now that they traded for it is Caleb Williams or Drake May. So I think I would take any of those guys over Bryce Young. So that was a franchise altering trade that they did. So I'm going to go Panthers here. Panthers fans.
I love both of your responses, Houdini. I didn't even think of that. Giants fans are all New York sports fans, and they've been suffering for years. For a city that talks so much about being a big sports city, they have not had any championships in a very, very long time, which is crazy to think about. But one more thing before we get out of here, just a little quick pass the chips edition. All right, so the thing that I'm going to be talking about today, bat flips in the NCAA being banned is the stupidest thing on the planet. Yes, they've been banned for a little bit now, but I just keep seeing more and more videos pop up on my social media page about these guys getting ejected. Imagine getting ejected for showing some emotion. And mind you, for college baseball, this was the one thing that actually brought viewers to college baseball, and now they're taking that away. College baseball, we see guys do it all the time. They go all out for baseballs. They really bust it down the line, unlike the MLB, because I get it. They have millions of dollars invested in players. They say, hey, ease up. We don't want you to pull a hammy. I get that part. But look, college baseball, emotions are high when you hit a walk-off, when you win your conference. Maybe you have an upset against a conference rival. Let the kids play. They want to bat flip all they want. Let them. They want to have some sort of little knick-knack and some sort of big home run gift in the dugout or whatever. Let them. It's ridiculous. Some home run chain. I mean, the NCAA, you got it wrong once again. Stop ejecting these players for no reason. Let the kids play. Let baseball be fun.
Love it.
Deepaw, I'm going to pass you these chips.
All right, I got two things. One thing is kind of off the wall here, but shout out to Dallas Seavey breaking the record for his sixth Iditarod victory. Now, you know what the Iditarod is?
No. It's a horse race.
It's a dog race in like Alaska, you know, with like the mushing and everything like that. Not because of the record breaking.
Oh my God.
The guy had to kill a moose in the middle of this race, had to get a time penalty because a moose is a protected animal in Alaska, and he didn't gut the animal correctly. So he got a time penalty against it and still won his record breaking sixth Iditarod. It also, the NCAA basketball tournament selection Sunday on Sunday, I'm going to pick every single underdog in every single bracket I have and see what happens. Dino, you want some chips, man?
So first of all, the Iditarod, I've been addicted to playing GeoGuessr lately, which I'm really good at.
Are you?
But that was the picture that was there, and I pinned it to like 67 miles. But to piggyback off of your March Madness, you are getting into championship week, conference tournaments. I don't think there's a better time, but I want to highlight the fact that the Big East tournament, which I personally think is the best conference championship in college basketball. It's not the Big East tournament of past. I know that. I acknowledge it. I miss the old Big East. But it's still held at the world's most famous arena. It's still Madison Square Garden. It's still UConn. It's still Nova. It's still Providence. It's still all those boys that make that tournament fun. Creighton, Seton Hall, Butler. And it starts today. I can't be more excited. Nova's got a first round matchup against DePaul. They probably got to win two of these. They got to beat Marquette and DePaul probably to get into the NCAA tournament. But even if they don't get in, Selection Sunday, in my opinion, and if you guys remember when we did the draft for best sporting events, my 1-1 was March Madness.
But that'll do it all for us here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media at Hot Shots Podcast on all platforms, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We're even on Twitter now, too. Very active on there. So make sure to follow us on there, too. But until then, we'll talk to you next time.